Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tick-tock, tick-tock, 8 hours to go. Final voting. We are going to crown a champion at 9 o'clock tonight in our Nashville Sports Bracket, the best Nashville athletes of the last 30 years. It is down to two. 2-1 seeds, Steve McNair versus Pecorine. We are getting a huge turnout at the polls. The voting is coming in like rapid fire. And that is good. A lot of I voted today stickers on people. And you are voting. Continue to vote out there. But there has been quite the shift during this show. I mean quite the shift. It has been all over the place today for the first 4 hours of voting. Steve McNair came out of the gates. Pecorine rebounded and took control. Now it is all Steve McNair. 56% of the vote to 44%. For Pecorine right now, with just under 2,000 votes in. Like I said, still 8 hours to go, but you're going to need to go to at 1025 The Game on Twitter and cast your vote. Just wanted to pass that along. Still,
I'm loving the voter turnout today.
Man, it is. We're getting massive numbers. Chris Mason, driven by Freeland Chevrolet, also brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. You can visit SmokyMountaintops.com. He joins us every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Do you have a good Pecorine story for us?
Do I have a good Pecorine story for you? I got lots of Pecca stories.
I know you do.
You know, I don't know if I have one in particular right now, but other than the fact that he's the nicest guy on the planet, as advertised, he's just most genuine, not one bit of an act. He is who he is. But I've got some great stories of Pekka. One in particular was when we played together. It was my last year. We were out with a team at a team meal, and Pekka and I were sitting together, and we made it our goal to try to make the server's night and just be as polite and as helping and as we possibly could. In the nicest way, not in a condescending fashion at all. And, you know, she ended up telling us at the end of the night that that we made her night because we were so kind and helpful to her with all the guys at the table. And that's just the kind of guy he is. And that's a regular occurrence with that man.
Well, I'll tell you what, in times like this, that story rings a little bit louder, right? Especially for anybody in the service industry. They would love to hear that. Hopefully, when we come back from all this, we'll appreciate them a little bit more.
Well, no question. I mean, you feel for all those people, you know, bartenders and anyone, like you said, in the service industry. Man, they've been hit as hard as anybody with this situation. So there's GoFundMes out there too for a lot of the bartenders and service staff as well out there that I've hit up a couple of them. So if anyone feels like they want to, I know everyone's probably given a lot these days, and it's tough to keep up. But if you can, go ahead and do that.
I told Chris Sanders, who joined us last hour, that he's in this crazy, you know, TV watching binge right now of Netflix and movies. I told him to watch Crazy Stupid Love, a really, really good movie from 2011. And ironically, that's what not to do, what Steve Carell did at the bar to the bartender and talked down to her. And he's like, you know, Ryan Gosling's like, are you going to drink your shot? And he's like, no, she probably spit in it. And when he drank it, he said, yep, she definitely spit in it.
Just be nice.
Yeah, just be nice. Right. There you go.
You know?
And he was very condescending to her, and that's why she spit in his drink. When you what stands out to you? Because your eyes, when you look through your eyes, it's different than all of us. You've got goaltender eyes. So when you look through your eyes and your lens, what really stands out to you how Pecorine has been able to stay at this level for this long in a league that makes it so incredibly difficult because they keep getting, You know, in this case, we always say bigger, faster, stronger. They're just getting a lot faster. I don't know how much bigger they're getting. They're just getting a lot faster, and yet he's been able to, you know, to go through the test of time and stay at this level. Why?
Well, first of all, it's a fire and a passion for the game. He loves to play. He loves to compete, and you know you could say that about everyone, but there's different levels of that. And, you know, his commitment to getting better every single year, even, you know, back in the day when he first started out, every year he wanted to come back better and stronger, more flexible, quicker, all the above. And he would commit and do anything that he needed to do to achieve that. And especially most recently, you know, probably 4 years ago maybe now, he completely revamped the way he played. And I know from experience doing that, it is extremely hard. And there's some elements of your game that you can, you know, you can be successful in doing that. And there's others that are just, you know, you played a certain way for so long, it is hard to do. And I went through that as I got older too, as the position evolved and trying to play the way the game is played now. And there's obviously a lot more education and, you know, coaching and all these different types of things. And Pekka was able to do that. He really committed, you know, with Ben Vanderklok and having Juice there, which was, you know, a great resource for him as well. And they really, really worked hard on it. And at the end of the day, it's up to Pekka whether he wants to do it or not. You've seen some guys that are a little bit older still playing okay. Mike Smith is a pretty good comparable to me. It's taken him a little longer to adjust, but he's trying to do those things as well. But the Jonathan Quick, another guy who hasn't really been able to, you know, completely transform his style of play, and that's okay. But if you want to be, you know, elite, and Pekka has, you know, found a way to stay elite, wins the Vezina Trophy last year. This year is a little up and down for everyone on the team, but you know, there's no doubt to me that he can still play at that level. But it's just the total commitment, the total buy-in, doing anything. You know, Jaromir Jagr is a guy like that as well. He just loved the game. He would do anything to get better and to work on his craft, and Peck is much the same.
Talking to Chris Mason, and of course, right now we are continuing our poll, greatest Nashville athlete of the last 30 years, and the final is here. We've been doing this for the last several weeks, and there, the greatest Titan against the greatest Predator, and it is a heck of a race going on right now. So, Mace, take us back. I asked Chris Sanders this same question about Steve McNair, but take us back to the first time you met Pekka Rinne, and what was your first impression of him?
Well, the first time I really met him was on the ice, and it was at training camp, and we're doing the goalie stuff with Mitch Korn, and I believe, was it Dan Ellis? I think it was Dan Ellis was there.
I think it would have been Dan.
Yeah, it was Dan Ellis, and we're on the ice, and there's another goalie as well, and we're, you know, going out before camp, and I started watching Pekka Rinne. First of all, he was, you know, 6'5". You know, it looked big, tall, lanky. His gear was a little bit smaller. He had a weird helmet, a weird finish helmet on, so he looked a little different. But when I started watching him do some of the drills, and at that point in time, most of the bigger goalies were, you know, more of a blocking style. They weren't really quick and agile. You know, they're the odd guys. I don't know if you remember how Roberto Luongo played, kind of, you know, play the angles, go down, fill up space, that kind of a goalie. A lot of the bigger guys played like that. So when I saw Pekka, I was honestly blown away. The way that he could move, the way that he could contort his body, the way that he, you know, battled, how quick he was. And I said to Mitch, I said, holy, you know, crap. I didn't say crap. You know what I said. But I said, this kid is going to be a stud. He's going to be a star. And Mitch being Mitch, he's like, well, you know, he's got some work to do, but I think we can get him there. And there was no doubt in my mind. I was blown away. I really was. The only other two times that I've watched a goalie and felt that way was the second one was Andre Vasilevsky. Very similar to Pekka, but the way that he was big, the way that he played, I watched him in practice and then in a game, and I was blown away. And then Juice, I had that same feeling about his technical aspect of the game and just the way that he plays. But for Pekka, I mean, I just couldn't believe it. And then I went in the room after, because they were in a different dress room, and introduced myself, and I took him and Dan Ellis out to lunch, and we chatted and, you know, try to get to know each other a little bit. But it was, he's, of course, he was, you know, one of the sweetest, nicest, most polite kids you could ever meet. It was just he left a huge impact, a huge mark on me the first time I met him, for sure.
One of the things I remember talking to Pekka about, it was after he won his 300th game, I think, and Darren and I, and I think Chase, you were there that day when we talked to him. He talked about his long stint in Milwaukee. He was there for quite a while, playing behind guys like you and Thomas Fokun. He had to really wait his turn before he got a shot, and that might have benefited him for the long term. But he was talking about how much he matured, and he leaned on a guy named Kevin Klein, who a lot of Predator fans remember, but that was his roommate. And he was talking about guys like Kevin were so important to get him acclimated to what it was like in the States, just or living on your own, all of those things. I mean, you can relate to that, can't you?
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's, you know, those are, especially for goalies. Goalies, it's for whatever reason, you know, forwards are ready quicker, defensemen take a little bit longer, and goalies can take, you know, the longest in most cases. So, you know, if you're an NHL team and you've got a prospect like Pekka Rinne, it's not necessarily that he doesn't have the ability to play right away, but it's the maturity, it's the learning, the adapting to North America, learning, you know, how to be a pro hockey player over here, and all those types of different life skills, you know, living on your own. And to have a guy like Kevin Klein, I had a lot of guys when I was in the minors as well that I relied on to, you know, kind of give you guidance. Because when you're a pro hockey player, if you play in Europe, the team will get you apartments and the team gets you a car and they kind of set you up and they take care of you. Same for, you know, for someone like me when I played junior, you have people kind of, you live with billets and, you know, you're not on your own, and it's a huge adjustment. Anybody, we all know what it's like, you know, to go live on your own for the first time, but also to be expected to perform at elite levels every single day, every single night. You know, you're under such a big microscope and you're trying to achieve a dream. So to have a player and a person like Kleiner, he's such a great guy. They had a lot of great guys that were probably really helpful to Pex, and I know they had a good crew back then. I played with a lot of those guys that came from those years. And it's something that, like, you know, for Juice, having Pex, it makes all the difference in the world. It really does, because I believe in certain situations, I don't think for Pekka, but, you know, it could either hinder your development if you don't have those influences, and you could, you know, kind of get slightly taken down a different kind of path and maybe have some more challenges. But when you have those types of guys that really can help you and be a great support system, I really think it keeps you on track, and it really, you know, kind of enhances and speeds up your development.
You mentioned Mitch Korn a couple of times during this conversation, and I had a chance to talk to Mitch last night. We were hoping to get him on the show, but he mentioned the Lou Lamoriello rule, you know, with the New York Islanders being run by Lou Lamoriello. The assistant coaches don't get a chance to talk publicly. That's kind of like the Bill Belichick style that he has. Mace, you're familiar with Lou for sure. So it was too bad, because we love picking Mitch's brain. But I got a chance to talk to him, and, you know, we went back down memory lane here. Take me down the path of how Mitch Korn tries to find the strengths in a goalie. Like, how did he try to mold Pekka Rinne from a young age? Because he's had a great influence on a lot of goalies over the years.
Well, that's talk about another guy that's you know, that's really built a resume and really adapted and adjusted with the times and evolved as a goaltending coach and as a person in his craft too. Because, you know, if you're in that position and you're stuck in your old ways, you'll get left behind. And Mitch Korn is, you guys know him as well as anybody. He's a student of the game. He keeps up with everything. But what he was really good at doing, you know, especially for, you know, like, let's say you have Mike Dunham, you know, Chris Mason, Dan Ellis, Thomas Fokun, Pekka Rinne. He had such a keen eye that was able to identify your strengths and weaknesses as a goalie. And every one of us had different strengths, different weaknesses, things that we could work on, things that, you know, you were really good at that you could, you know, keep improving on, those types of things too. But really round out your game and identify the weaknesses and either tweak things or, you know, work harder to get better at those certain deficiencies in your game. And he put in the time. You know, a lot of times there, you know, when I was coming into pro, there were goaltending coaches that had, hey, this is a certain way, all my goalies are going to play like this. Francois Allaire was one of those guys, great goalie coach, but you had to be a butterfly goalie. You had to go down, block, get your shoulders big, play the percentages. He wanted all of his goaltenders to play like that. So that's how they all had to play. But Mitch was incredible. And it takes a lot of time, and you have to teach guys separately. You can do some stuff together, but you have to do a lot of individual teaching and a lot of video and breaking down things and explaining it. And he was just the best communicator in terms of, you know, telling you where you needed to move your body, what you had to do in order, you know, to maybe change a little bit something technical. And I honestly don't think that I would have made the NHL if it wasn't for Mitch Korn. He helped me that much. He was, you know, back then too, I was so raw. I never had a goalie coach. So I just stopped the puck the way that I thought I should stop the puck, and that was it. And then I had Mitch Korn, and, you know, he changed my life. So I owe Mitch a lot, that's for sure. We all do.
Yeah. Well, he said to pass along his regards, and he wanted to apologize to everybody that he wasn't able to join us today. He would have loved to. You know, Mitch, he loves to communicate for sure. He said someday we'll be on a radio show and we won't be able to take any commercials. We'll take up the entire time. So I look forward to that day.
Yes,
for sure. But, you know, one last thing I want to hit you with, Mace, is what we discussed it last night. You know, we were talking about Pekka, and he said, you know, this reset button. We were talking about this period we're going through. It's unlike anything we've seen before. But I wonder what hitting the reset button will do for somebody like Pekka, who's had the season he's had. There's no telling. Who knows if that might be the thing that gets him back on track. There's so many unknowns right now, but I look forward to seeing what happens.
Oh, yeah, no question. I mean, he's had some really great stretches during this season as well. And the biggest thing for any athlete, especially when you're an elite athlete like Pekkarinen, it's the biggest thing is you got to get out of your own way in terms of your thought process. You know, when you're having a season like the Preds were having, you know, from start to probably the last 2 weeks before the season shut down, it weighs you down. It really does. You're underachieving. You gotta, you know, how many times do we hear the guys say, well, you know, it's not good enough and we got to do this. And, you know, it was just one of those seasons. You play a couple good games. It was no different for Pekka. So it was a trying season for him mentally. And you wear that weight around, and it's tough to get out. And same thing for him. He'd play really good. He'd have a great stretch. And then, you know, he'd come out and maybe it was a tough game for the guys, or he didn't have his best night or whatever the case may be. And then you're back at square one. But like to have this right now, for him and for a lot of guys, first of all, you get your health back and you have a chance to recover. But mentally, man, that weight and that stress of that trying season just completely disappears, and you feel like a new person. So I think for him in particular, maybe more than anyone on the team, I think it could have the best outcome when things get going again.
Chris Mason is with us. I want to go back to something for a second, because you guys have all praised Mitch Korn, and rightfully so, for the influence that he had on Pekka's early career. But what does it say about Ben Vanderklok, the current goaltending coach, to be able to take over for a legend like Mitch Korn, work with a guy that is established in the league and Pekkarinen, and keep that going?
Well, that's a great question, because that is not easy to do. Somebody that, you know, like taking over for Bear Trot, someone that's a legend in his craft, which Mitch Korn is, and, you know, you got to come in and you're taking, you know, you're a goalie coach and you have Pekkarinen, you know, an established guy that's obviously, you know, played a lot of years, you know, can play the game at elite levels, and you're the young goalie coach coming in, and you're going to work with him, and you maybe have to say to Pekka, you know, hey, maybe, you know, you should consider, you know, maybe trying to work on some things or try to change this. The game's evolving a little bit. That's a really hard thing to do. But, and again, Ben Vanderklok, too, is another guy that just has so much passion for the position. He cares about it so much. He cares about his guys, you know, their state of mind and going about things the right way, and, you know, making sure that he's not, you know, maybe a fit, especially when you're first starting out, maybe you're not, you know, going in too hard on Pekka. And for Juice, he had Juice at a young age and really had a good opportunity to mold and work with him young. And that, so that's what he'd been used to doing. But with Pekka, I just thought he did such a good job of, you know, balancing, you know, when to push him, when to lay off. And that's another thing for Ben. That was, I'm sure if you asked him, that was probably one of the biggest things that he had to learn how to do at that level was when to, you know, when to push and maybe when to suggest something and go in after a bad game. What do? Do you watch video that the next day, or do you kind of lay off and just say, hey, Peck's, you know, he's a pro. He knows what happened there. Or do you go in and say, hey, let's go over a couple goals and try to do this? So I'd like to, you know, it'd be probably some really good questions for him. I would like to hear the answers to all those. I know some of it because we've had a lot of conversations, but, you know, that's not easy to do. But Ben has just been awesome with these guys, and to me they've been over the last, you know, since he's been here, that's been the best 1-2 punch in the National Hockey League by far, in my opinion. That's the honest truth.
And then another thing you brought up, and we've talked about it time and time again, of just the relationship between Pekka and Jussi. But I, in my opinion, I think the best thing that Pekka did for Jussi is he stayed competitive. He was like, I'm not going to just give the job up to, you know, the heir apparent because everybody says he's the heir apparent. And I think you can speak on that too for, you know, your relationship with Thomas Vokoun, your relationship with Dan Ellis, that you all push each other, and that's what ultimately is going to help somebody like Jussi Saros.
Well, honestly, there could not have been a better situation for Juice. If he comes into that, and goaltending is, there's a ton of pressure. You know, especially when you're young and you come in and you don't really know and you're in the NHL, and every single game is under such a large microscope, and you're accountable for every single play that you make. When you handle a puck behind the net, if you don't handle it well, guess what? That's on the clips tomorrow, you know, when you're watching video. And that may seem like a trivial thing, but it's every little detail, every little thing, you get exposed. And if you're a younger player and you're maybe not ready for that, you know, type of scrutiny, it can be tough if you don't have a good support system. So for him to have Pekka there, you know, to kind of keep the ebbs and flows, and when, you know, something goes, you know, a little sideways and you have a couple bad games and you're not feeling great, to have a guy like Pekka that, you know, is first of all non-threatening in terms of, you know, being intimidated and, you know, owly, if there's a youngster coming up trying to steal his job and all those types of things. You got your Finnish goaltending idol as your goaltending partner for Juice, and just the guy that has the best intentions for, you know, for developing Juice and for his career, and to be able to, you know, pat him on the back and just say, hey, man, don't worry about it. Look, I'm, you know, I've been playing for, you know, 20 some odd years and I go through that same stuff. Just brush it off. It's no big deal. That goes a long way, you know, instead of, you know, being there with maybe someone you're not as comfortable of that might leave you on an island that's maybe, hey, not so upset that you might be struggling because you're not, you know, you're not threatening their job. But that's certainly not the way that Pex is. So I think that had such a major, major impact on the way that Juice was able to develop and stay, you know, in the NHL at such a young age and come in and be as effective as he was because of their relationship.
Good stuff as always. We appreciate the visit. You and the family continue to be safe.
All right. Thank you, guys. Take care.
We have a question for you, Mace.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah. What if Bob was one of us?
Well, let me answer the question with a question. If you had just one question to Bob, what would it be?
Do we have a clip? I don't know if Elijah has it.
Man,
I am so excited. I never get to go on the road. I never get to bag check. I finally get to bag check.
Our man, Bob Cole. Awesome. Television director.
Bob,
the producer, I should say.
Oh, gosh.
This is May singing, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, for real. This
is a karaoke app. I wish it had a voice enhancer, but at the end of the day, I had to go with what I could do.
So you're saying you need to up the technology, get yourself a processor when you do these things?
Yeah, I gotta get more. I gotta either that or pay for the paid subscription on one of them. They're all like $9 a month, and I'm like, no, I just want to try to do one song. So
when the sequel to A Star Is Born comes out, Bradley Cooper, when he calls, answer it, okay? That's good stuff. Oh, Helmut. He's a great guy.
He's the best, man. I miss him. I miss you. I miss everyone. Guy.
Chase, what do you got for us on the helmet front? What do you got? Give us your Bob. Give us your Bob.
Well, you know, I thought the song was pretty good. I think we need to run with it. I think it's a great idea. I think we should lead with it.
With a big smile, of course. Right? He's saying that with a big smile.
The arm motions are
I
everything.
Loved it.
he is the best. He's the best boss, I'll tell you.
No doubt. Thanks for the visit. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Talk Chris Mason, every week driven by Freeland Chevrolet and brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. You can visit SmokyMountaintops.com. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.